Welcome to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson here with you today, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. And folks, you know, the strength of a nation, the strength of your family is somewhat connected to the economics of the family. And since 1980, significant things happening in America. You need to be aware of this. We've complained about what's happening in terms of morality and the strength of the family on this program, but let's talk economics for a second. The rate of bankruptcy filings has increased 300% since 1980. And that was the last recession, or major recession, in America. The per capita consumer debt has doubled since 1980, and half of Americans say they worry about debt. 20% say they worry about it all the time. And they have reason to worry about it. Americans have the highest percentage of people with no spare cash in the world. We're talking about more than Thailand and Chile and Portugal. Only 22% of Americans have no spare cash whatsoever. And again, folks, far, far more Americans have no spare cash than even third world nations like Thailand and Chile. If you look at the graph of debt as a percentage of the national income, incredibly important chart. And what you're going to see is since 1985, the debt per national income in America has skyrocketed. That's right. The curve went exponential in 1985 for 20 years. Debt has been on the exponential rise as a percentage of the national income in America. The last 8 years, the rate has increased even more. It's almost straight up and down now on a chart. Folks, total debt in America now is at $50 trillion. That's 50. That's $50 trillion. That's pretty significant. We're talking about national debt, state debt. We're talking about business debt, consumer debt, all debt in America now at $50 trillion. And last year, and by the way, that's $645,000 for a family of four. $645,000 for a family of four. It's going to take you a little while to pay that off, I'd say. And last year, as of 2006, the total debt increased another $4 trillion. Yes, folks, in just 1 year, a 9, 10, 11% increase on the total debt in America. External debt owed foreign interests increased $1 trillion, and household, business, and financial sector debt soared 9% last year. 72% of total debt in America has been created since 1990. That's right, folks, 72% increase since 1990. The Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises has an important statement to make about a nation that goes to debt and relies on debt to spur on its economic strength. And again, folks, the debt increased last year $4 trillion, five times that of the gross domestic product. We're on a huge debt increase in America, and this, according to Ludwig von Mises, there is no means of avoiding the final collapse of a boom brought about by credit expansion. The alternative is only whether the crisis should come sooner as the result of a voluntary abandonment of further credit expansion, which we have not seen as of 2006, or later as a final and total catastrophe of the currency system involved. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this back to the micro again. On the micro level, you have a responsibility before God to take care of your families. And my recommendation is there is one thing you can do in an economic sense. Obviously, you can pray, you can trust in God, you can establish relationships with families and churches. Those sorts of things will stand you in good stead when things turn really bad economically. But there is one thing you can do economically. Listen, folks, get out of debt and get out of debt as soon as possible. It can be done. 16% of Americans have paid off their homes, but you need to change the way that you think. You got to change the way you think. The debt lifestyle is intricately tied to the existentialist way of thinking and living, folks. This idea of living for today with no concept what's happening for tomorrow. A lot of folks are not thinking of consequences. They go into debt, try to avoid thinking about the obligation to pay off those debts, and that perpetuates a debt lifestyle from year to year and from generation to generation. These folks, when they get into debt, the average person in America, he's going to think that that home investment or that mortgage investment is going to appreciate, and he's going to bet on that. But he doesn't think about the ups and downs. He doesn't prepare for the downs. What happens when a $500,000 five-bedroom home depreciates to $250,000? Your $100,000 in equity goes away. So you thought you were rich. You're not rich now. You have nothing. You have nothing. Now you owe the bank $150,000, which you'll be paying off for the next 20 years. But what happens when a five-bedroom house paid off depreciates to $250,000? Well, you're still worth approximately one five-bedroom house. You haven't lost anything. You still have the same house, all five bedrooms. You haven't lost a thing because it's paid off, you see. Now, the Bible gives us our ethics, and we're going to go straight to the Bible today. The Bible says in no uncertain terms that debt is a curse. Now, it's not immoral in and of itself, but it's like the measles. It's not sinful. It's not malum in se. But it's an evil. And I pity the poor soul who says, I love the measles. I want to get as many measles as I can possibly get. Anybody who says that is warped in his thinking. Same thing with debt. Debt may be a necessary evil at points, but it's still an evil. We have to establish it as that and do everything we can to get out from under the burden of debt. According to Deuteronomy 30, any nation that's borrowing $10 trillion to foreign nations is already under the judgment of God. Okay, so if that's exactly what America is, we are the greatest debtor nation on earth, and foreign nations hold our debt to the tune of $10 trillion. And any nation like that's already suffering the judgment of God per Deuteronomy 30. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about macroeconomics, but let's bring it back to the micro. How does this impact you as a listener? In a moment, we want to give you a practical way to get out of debt. Bob Moret is next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHEC also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHEC, visit their website at chec.org. Also, be sure to check out their bookstore on the south side of Denver on Parker Road.
Welcome back to Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson here with you. Today talking about a critically important issue, especially in an era where debt has just taken off in America. So many folks are in debt and saddled by this thing. And again, folks, we're looking at freedom from the debt burden. I know there's a lot of folks out there that are really interested in this. And with me is somebody who has really dedicated his life to bringing this message to thousands and thousands of people. Bob Moret from the Financial Health Fair is with us. And Bob is the president of the Financial Health Fair. He's author of the book From a Millstone to a Milestone. He's been on Christian radio and television talk shows talking about personal finances. And I can't think of a better person to weigh in on this issue. Bob, thanks for joining us today on Generations.
My privilege, Kevin.
Bob, let's talk about the debt-free versus the debted mindset. You know, I think it all starts with a mindset. This happened with us back early on in our marriage. My wife and I both had the same vision, and that's a blessing when God gives you that vision. We had the same vision on day one when we were married, and within a year or two, we were debt-free on a small piece of property up in Oregon with some 14 acres. It was something like $40,000 investment where we had a little mobile home up there, but we really were debt-free for the first time in our adult lives, and it was such a blessing. It took a little bit more time, but over time we were able to establish a debt-free lifestyle. And I just want to ask you this question. How does a person begin to establish that debt-free mindset?
Well, Kevin, first thing is people need to look at the benefits. And the benefits of debt freedom is, first of all, just true freedom. I mean, you don't have to worry about, you know, if you are totally debt-free, you can be free to serve, you can be free to give, you can be free to go. And so we've got to have the desire. I mean, people have got to say, we want to do this because we know it's going to give us the freedom that we want.
Yeah.
And the freedom is, you know, being able to serve God when, where, and how He wants. And, you know, we're not talking about being free to accumulate and store up and gather and amass great wealth. We're talking about freedom to be able to serve the Lord when, where, and how He wants. And so once we get that desire, now we've got to come up with a plan. And the plan's really easy. You know, we take a look at, you know, the first step, Kevin, to getting out of debt, and this is not rocket science, is no new debt. If we're in a hole and we want to get out, we've got to stop digging. And I tell people to cut up credit cards. They say, "What? We can't do that." And I said, "Well, if you want to get out of debt, we've got to, you know, stop digging, put away the financial shovel, and that's step number one."
Does the person have to change a little bit in terms of how he views materials and the need want thing here, Bob?
That's huge. A friend of mine years ago said, "We have got to get our wanter fixed, because I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this." You know, do we need it? And Kevin, the difference between need and want is huge. We've got to focus on not all the stuff I don't have. We need to focus on what we do have. And, you know, we as Americans have tremendous blessing. You know, the Bible says if we have food and covering, we should be content. And we as Christians have been blessed with the greatest gift ever. So let's not focus on all the stuff we don't have. You know, I don't have the boat, I don't have the motorhome, I don't have this, I don't have that. Let's focus on what we do have.
Bob, what do you say to the guy out there who's saying, "Man alive, I'm only making $35,000 a year. You know, I'm at a middle income engineer's wage, $52,000 a year, or whatever. You know, I'm not making the $250,000 a year where I could be debt free right away." What do you say to the guy who says that?
Well, the person that is making, you know, whether it's $15,000 a year or $15,000 a month, most folks are spending more than they're making. So the first thing we need to do is we need to get our spending under control to where we are spending less than we're making.
And how do you do that?
Well, you sit down and you say, "What are my expenses and what are my critical expenses?"
So do some prioritization of those expenses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And priority number one, in my opinion, is we need to say, okay, we've got X amount coming in. Priority number one as far as expenses is not the house, it's not the car, it's not food. Priority number one is giving. We need to be faithful in our giving. The Bible makes it very clear we need to be giving to the Lord from the top. And so that's our first expense.
And Bob, you know, when you begin to give, I have a feeling that God will help you reprioritize some of that need want stuff, so you're not such a getter, 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 get me sort of a mindset. You've started out with a giving mindset, and you when you start to give, you're going to wind up not having that coveting, discontented, materialistic way of thinking.
Right. And Kevin, what I teach in my workshops is what I call a three-legged stool. Debt elimination is one leg of the stool, but it's the third leg. The first leg of the stool is what I call financial contentment. The second leg is giving. And once we get the giving and the contentment issue squared away, now we can start talking about debt elimination. But I tell people at workshops that I teach, if you're not going to get the giving and contentment issues squared away, you may as well leave right now, because there's no way you're going to get out of debt.
And that's a beautiful way of putting it. I love it. Now, Bob, a little bit more on budgeting. How do you recommend the budgeting? Certainly husband and wife need to be in agreement on this.
100%. 100%. Because if you're not, I'll guarantee you it will not work. Because, you know, what she wants, he doesn't think is important, and vice versa. And, you know, we've got to get in agreement on everything in the budget, and we cannot spend more than we make. And Kevin, one thing about a budget is people say, "Well, I've kept track of my expenses over years," and, you know, we don't want to take a look at what have we spent. John Maxwell puts it this way. He says a budget is where you sit down at the beginning of the month and you tell your money where it's going to go, rather than looking back and saying, gosh, where did it go? So we need to determine ahead of time, where are we going to spend our money? Husband and wife in agreement. And if it's not on the paper, you don't spend it. And if there's something comes up, then husband and wife together sit down and say, how are we going to, we want to spend money in this category. How are we going to do it? Okay, we've got to pull money from somewhere else in the budget. Where are we going to do that? Husband and wife agree, and then you spend according to what the paper says.
And if you are spending more than you're getting, or you're unable to pay off your debts, obviously only two solutions to that, increase income or decrease expenses. Those are your two options. How do you address those two options, Bob?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to, let's go with increase income. There's a lot of ways to increase income with a lot of part-time jobs. There's jobs from home, there's eBay, there's all kinds of ways. There's some great home businesses out there, but I don't really focus on increasing income. I want to focus on decreasing expenses, because that's something that we really can handle in most cases. Let's take a look at eating out. Let's take a look at Starbucks. Let's take a look at all the activities that we do. And a lot of financial experts, Kevin, say cut out, cut out, cut out, cut out. I don't say that. I don't say cut out, I say cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been, you know, let's say you go to Starbucks 5 days a week. Well, I love Starbucks, but let's cut back from 5 days a week to 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll free up, you know, for the average person, that'll free up, you know, $30 a month. If we eat out twice a week, let's cut back to once a week. And again, that'll free up a bunch of money. The average American worker, Kevin, spends between $80 and $120 a month eating lunch out.
Wow.
Let's brown bag it 2 days a week. They'll eat out three times a week. Let's brown bag it, and again, that'll save $20 to $30 to $40 a month.
And before you know it, when you get into the annual costs, you're looking at thousands of dollars. You add these things up, you may wind up with saving $4,000 or $5,000 a year just with some of these nitpicky little things, where you wind up bringing your lunch to work 3-4 days a week rather than eating out. You could be saving yourself $3,000-$4,000 a year.
Exactly. Exactly. And Kevin, what I'm trying to teach is not poverty lifestyle. We're not going to live like a hermit. What we're going to do is we're going to make a bunch of little changes. And I tell people, if we're looking for $1, we don't want to go out and find that dollar. We want to look for a bunch of nickels and dimes. And every once in a while, maybe find a quarter.
My father used to say, you look out for your pennies and your dollars will look after themselves. It's one of those old-fashioned statements that came out of the Great Depression, I think. But there's a lot of wisdom there. What about the big expenses? Let's look at automobiles and your own home. How do you deal with these sorts of things? Are there ways that we can cut costs in terms of what we drive and where we live?
Well, I'll tell you, one thing I recommend is that we never... I don't care if your income's $300,000 a year. I tell people, never buy a brand new car, because you buy a brand new car, you drive it off the lot, it's not a new car anymore. And the average new car loses half its value in the first 3 to 4 years. So we want to buy a good used car. People say, if I buy a used car, aren't I buying somebody else's troubles? No, people are giving up a perfectly good car because they want another new one. So we want to get a 3 to 4 year old car. We want to, you know, we need something safe to get us from point A to point B. We don't need all the bells and whistles. If we're in a situation now where we've got a $20,000 vehicle that's probably only worth $17,000 or $18,000, I recommend we seriously consider getting rid of it. We may need to get a loan for $3,000. We go to the credit union, get a $3,000 loan. We get another $3,000 to get a car to get us from point A to point B. And now we've got a $6,000 loan instead of a $20,000 loan.
Hmm.
Kevin, I've told people, you know, and I don't do this all the time, but every once in a while the situation is, you know what, folks, you've got too much house. You need to sell your house. You need to get into something smaller, downsize. But a lot of times people are, you know, upside down in a house. We have dug ourselves into a hole, Kevin. For the average Christian has buried themselves in debt.
Mm.
And we've got to find ways to where We cannot spend more than we have coming in.
What do you think about consolidation loans, Bob?
Well, consolidation loans, I tell people we shouldn't do consolidation loans because they don't work. Consolidation loans focus on lowering your monthly payment. They focus on getting you deeper in debt because, you know, you can, as you're signing for the consolidation loan, you can get, hey, you need an extra $5,000 for that well-deserved vacation or for that deck or whatever, and so we sign here, we're deeper in debt. I'm not saying don't do consolidation loans, Kevin. I'm saying before we think about a consolidation loan, we need to make sure that we've got our spending squared away. If we save $300 a month by doing a consolidation loan, most folks say, great, we freed up $300, let's go get something for $300 a month. No, we don't want to do that. We take that $300 and throw it back in towards eliminating debt faster. The purpose of a consolidation loan is not to lower your monthly payment. It should be to lower the amount of time you have left to pay.
Bob, you talk about getting rid of debt in 5 to 7 years. Is that really possible? Have you seen that as a reality in the folks' lives over the last 10 years of your ministry work?
Oh, Kevin, I've had five people this year call me and say, or email me and say, Bob, we have just made or we're just getting ready to make our final mortgage payment.
Wow.
This works. This works. But I'll tell you, people, before they get started, they have got to say, we want to do this. We are serious about this. And we're willing to give up a bunch of little stuff. And again, we're not saying live like a pauper. We're saying give up a bunch of little stuff, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and that's how this works.
I can remember a coach used to always tell the guys that were doing the work on the field, it's how bad you want it. It's how bad you want it. And that applies to just about everything in life, doesn't it, Bob? It's how bad you want it. Do you really want that freedom that God offers you in the Word of God? When He says the debtor is the servant to the lender, that's not the optimal lifestyle God wants His people living.
That's exactly right. And we need to be brutally honest with ourselves. How important is it to be debt-free? Because let me tell you, Kevin, Satan doesn't want us to be debt-free. Satan loves us right where we are, to where we can't give, we can't breathe, we can't serve, we can't live. That's where he wants us. But that's not what God wants for us. He wants freedom for us. And again, freedom from debt means freedom to be able to serve. And that's where we want to go with this. It's not easy, but you know what? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And it's making one little step at a time. And, you know, we make three or four steps this month, and next month we say, what else can we do? Because we start getting excited because we start seeing a little bit of progress. And when I say out of debt in 5 to 7 years, including your mortgage, Kevin, sometimes it might be 2 or 3 years. Sometimes it might be 10 or 11 years. But isn't 10 or 11 better than 28 or 29 where most folks are?
I think the message today, folks, is it can be done. I'm living proof of it, and thousands of others as well. And, ladies and gentlemen, so much more to say on this subject. We're clean out of time, though, and I want to recommend Bob Moret's workshops. There's one coming up in Westminster on August 25th. For more information on Bob's stuff, you need to sign up on this seminar. If God has laid this on your heart, that you need to get out of debt and start working on this right away, I highly encourage a seminar with Bob Moret. And you can sign up for it by contacting him at financialhealthfare.org. Bob, thanks so much for joining us. I know we've just piqued some interest and just worked our way into this topic today, but we appreciate you sharing with us on the air today.
My privilege, Kevin.
And folks, one of the purposes of this program is to instill some vision for moms and dads and families in the 21st century, and part of that vision has got to be economic. We have got to establish a debt-free vision for ourselves and our children for future generations, and I hope that this program has done that for you. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.